You know what I'm saying? All right, quiz. How many chapters in the book of Isaiah? 60? That's close. 67, really close. 66. Here's a good one. What is the longest book in the Bible? In other words, the book in the Bible that has the most words in it. You're not allowed to say because you know the answer. Okay. Exodus. Excellent guess. But it's not even in the top 10. All right. It's a good guess, though. Psalms. Excellent guess. That's the fourth longest book in the Bible. Jeremiah. Very good. Did you know that already? Yeah, all right. He's just a smart guy. Okay, great. So, to make sure I've started the tape correctly, I have. Good. So let's do a little bit of review. We've been studying the book of Isaiah. I'm not going to review the whole thing because otherwise we'll spend the entire time reviewing, but I'll show you a little bit. A possible theme is the Lord is salvation. Here's a bit of a timeline so you know sort of the historical context. Find Isaiah. See Isaiah there with the second line down. The two most important kings during the reign of Isaiah are Ahaz, who unfortunately relied on Egypt instead of on God, and therefore God didn't give him a sign. Instead, he gave us a sign, which is the virgin will be with child, Isaiah chapter 7, which is sort of cool. And then there's Hezekiah, and last week we spent pretty much the entire week looking at Hezekiah, who was a faithful king, right? Except Isaiah 39 was a bit of a downer, but we'll see that. Okay, and we see here, is this thing where, yeah, so this is the Assyrian kings. The northern kingdom was destroyed in 722 B.C. by Sargon. And then in 701 B.C., 701 B.C., that's when Sennacherib came and they had that little encounter, right, in Isaiah 36 and 37. And then 180,000 of his soldiers were killed. Got it? Okay. Then, here's the outline of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters has to do with things happening contemporary to Isaiah, with the interaction between the northern and southern kingdom in Assyria. Messiah the King is the theme. The second part of Isaiah, which we're starting tonight, deals with prophecies around the time of Babylon and the Babylonian captivity and the conquering of Babylon by Cyrus the Great. And there's a lot of messianic prophecies in there. And then Isaiah 56 through 66, that's looking forward to the future. It's about the kingdom of God, prophecies about the kingdom of God. Got it? Some of the themes of Isaiah are the utter sinfulness of Judah and Jerusalem. Not a very encouraging theme, but the fact is, this is a very sinful world. And then the appeal by God to repent, and that is a theme of all the prophets, the call to repent. And then point number three, judgment will come on Israel and on Judah if they don't repent. All right, that's the bad news. And then, especially starting Isaiah 40, we see a lot of hope. The Messiah is coming, the suffering servant. And we're going to have those four servant songs starting in Isaiah 42. And then we see again and again this idea of a remnant. And we want to be part of that remnant. Hopefully the people in this club are part of that remnant. All right? And then the glory of the Lord, we'll see that tonight. And then social justice. We'll get back to that theme next week. There's been a lot of that in Isaiah, okay? So now we're going to... Okay, we just went through a lot of stuff. Okay, so now, remember, that Isaiah 1 through 39, Messiah the King. All right, Isaiah of 39 ends on a very negative, sour note. Let's go there. Aren't you glad to start with negative, sour note there? But what can I say? If it's in the Bible, we're going to preach it.
Amen.
Thank you for that, amen. All right. So remember, basically, what happened was Hezekiah foolishly thought, all right, I'm going to have a little working together with Babylon, and we're going to defeat Assyria, and we're going to share our riches, I'm going to work with the world, all that kind of stuff. And because of that, in verse 5, Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon." And that is the transition verse between the first 39 chapters of Isaiah and then the rest of Isaiah. All right? "Nothing will be left," says the Lord. "And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood," their names being Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, a prophecy of something that was not fulfilled for almost 100 years, about 95 years after this prophecy, would be taken away. They'll become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So right now, what do we need? What we need is comfort. So Isaiah 40 is about comfort. All right? So let's get into it. All right? Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. This is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." By the way, when Isaiah wrote this, that was certainly not yet the case. Okay? This is a prophecy. Because remember, Isaiah, starting in chapter 40, deals with the time of what empire interacting with Israel? Starts with a B. Babylon. Got it? "She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord." Some of you know who that's talking about, but don't say it out loud because it'll give it away. Okay. "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low." This is a kingdom prophecy here. "The rough ground shall become level, the rugged place a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." All right, so this is about the judgment that's going to come when God is going to send the southern kingdom into captivity in Babylon, which happened, the year was 605 BC. Guess who else prophesied this taking into captivity? Ezekiel began to preach when it had already happened. Ezekiel began preaching in 596 BC after they'd already been taken into captivity. Good guess, though. Micah. Okay, sure. Nope. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 29. That's a generic prediction. All right, I'll give you a hint. He's known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah. Let's go there. This is a really famous passage. Jeremiah 29. I see everybody, nobody's turning their pages. Nobody's turning their pages. All right. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 10. Now, by the way, this is one of the more quoted passages in the entire Bible. And it's quoted very much out of context. Let's see. Okay? Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, he's talking about the exact same thing that Isaiah is talking about, that God's talking about through Isaiah. Remember when Isaiah said, the time of your punishment will be complete. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to say, comfort, comfort my people. But that's a message for us tonight. All right, hopefully the time of our slavery and being in captivity will end. In fact, for Emma, that's her goal for this semester apparently. And then the message will be, comfort, comfort my people, right? So when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and I will fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. By the way, what was the year that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken into captivity? 605 B.C. All right, where's the purple? And there it is. Okay, good. Let's see. We have a math major up here. I know, actually, math majors, they don't really know how to actually do mathematics. All right. They can do equations and formulas and stuff.
He's a math major.
All right. Actually, Cyrus defeated Babylon in 537 B.C., and then they set in motion the events that led to the return. And the captives returned about 536, 535 B.C. So this is a prophecy. It says, I know the plans I have for you. All right. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me, you will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I hope that's us this semester. A lot of you shared some pretty good thoughts related to that, I would say. Yes? I will gather you from all the nations, all the way from the Imperial Valley in Southern California to Wairika, some of that crazy place up there. Are there actual people up there in Northern California? I think they have people up there. Yeah. Crescent City. Right. Did I skip part of verse 14? I'm sorry. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40. All right? The message of Isaiah 40 is comfort for God's people. I've got a question. How many of you would like to hear the message of comfort? Oh, that's what I thought. Okay. Do you in particular need comfort right now? A couple of you, I feel like, shared that you particularly need a message of comfort right now. Others, maybe not quite as much. Amen. But if you're one of those, now we're going to come back to Isaiah 40, but I want to sneak over to Isaiah 41 verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 41 verse 9 and 10. One of those great comfort scriptures in Isaiah. God says, I took you from the Bay Area. I took you from Sacramento and I took you from Modesto. From the farthest corners of the earth, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I've not rejected you. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. All right? I don't know if some of you came to our worship service on Sunday. The lesson was not a comfort lesson, right? It was like repent of your sins lesson, okay? But tonight's lesson is comfort. God says to Judah, in this context, who will eventually go into exile in Babylon, and he says, I chose you to be my servant. All right? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. And who is God's righteous right hand? Jesus. All right. Back to Isaiah 40. All right. Back to Isaiah 40. A voice of one calling. Here's a prophecy. Who is this one who's calling in the wilderness? Prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptist. It's a prophecy. John went out in the desert, right? He's eating, wearing camel's hair clothing and eating locusts and wild honey, right? So this is a kingdom prophecy. This prophecy is about the return of Judah from captivity in Babylon, but it's also about our return from captivity. And John the Baptist, who said, In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And there's a highway. All right, there's a highway. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. When you hear this language, this is kingdom prophecy stuff. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So in order for all people to hear it together, what's going to have to happen probably? Somebody's going to have to say something. We'll see that. By the way, this scripture is quoted in Matthew 3, verse 3, where basically it says, this is John the Baptist. He is the one, the voice in the wilderness saying, prepare the way for the Lord. And what did John the Baptist do? He prepared the way for the Lord. And also in Mark 1, 1 through 4. All right? A straight way in the desert. And this is a straight way in the academic desert, if you will. I don't know if I'm stretching the metaphor a little bit for you all this semester. I just want us to have a vision right now of God comforting his people. What God wants to do for you. All right, now let's read verses 6 through 11. A voice says, cry out. Go out and share your faith. And I said, well, what shall I cry? All people are like grass. All right, so that's what you're supposed to do. You're out on campus, go out on Pavilion Lawn, and see this grass? That's you guys. You guys are like grass. Really? Well, yeah. Yeah, you guys are like grass. Okay, that's not a very attractive message, but here we go. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because of the breath the Lord blows on them. He's not emphasizing our puniness here. What's he emphasizing? The passing nature of our existence, right? In James 4, he says, your life is a mist. Yes. Let's see what he's heading for. He's heading for our first memory scripture of the night. All right, so Emma's going to be working on this one. The grass withers and the flowers fall because of the breath the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's do that memory verse. Let's say it aloud together. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Comfort, comfort my people. Because one thing that will never, ever fail you is God's word. Why? Because what's backing up God's word? God is backing up his word. It says, cry out. Need some comfort? Remember that you're like grass. You're like the flowers of the field. That doesn't seem comforting, but it's by comparison. The one who's comforting us. The God of creation. So let the bearers of this good news to Jerusalem or said, speak up, right? Oh, did I get to verse 11 or did I stop too early? Here we go. You who bring good news to UC Merced, to Merced College, to Atwater, to Chowchilla even, yeah, even Chowchilla, and to the rest of Merced, go up on a high mountain. I don't know, that mean go to the trash dump over there north of town? Go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Somebody shared they want to be able to shout louder this semester. Who was that that shared they want to shout louder? Oh, Stephanie shared that she wants to shout louder this semester. Amen. Yeah. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. What a great word, recompense. You guys want some recompense? What's recompense? That means his blessings on you because you have faithfully served him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Comfort, comfort my people. That's the message this evening. Comfort my people. I need to give you some recompense. You can Google that word right now. Google that word, recompense. And then come back to the lesson. Google it sort of quick there. Okay. Isaiah 40, 12 through 20. I love Isaiah 40, 12 through 20. Basically, the theme of this section is God is great and you're not. You're a pipsqueak. You're a pimple. All right? A good kind, though. I don't know. A goosebump. I don't know. Let's read starting in verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Manny, have you done that? Have you measured the waters of the ocean in your hand? No? Okay, if he were to try to measure all the water in the earth in his hand, how many handfuls do you think it would take? Somebody do that little calculation there. A few trillion? All right. Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Cassie and I were having this discussion today. We're saying, you know, the U.S. government consult you, Cassie, on the latest laws they're passing there? You know, anybody can? All right, yeah. It's like, has God sort of looked for you for help, Ken, to kind of figure out how to create the world? All right? All right. How about you, Brianna? Was he kind of, you know, trying to figure out all the mathematical equations? Did he kind of consult you on the mathematics of how the universe? He didn't. All right. How about you, Gigi? Okay. Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge? Now remember, this is a message of comfort. Think about why what we're reading right now is a message of comfort, because whose are we? We're his. Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor is it animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless, as less than nothing. With whom, then, will you compare God? Isaiah asks rhetorically. To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. Of course, guess what it's eventually going to do? Rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. All right? Do you not know? Have you not heard? That's the next section there. Okay? He says, all the nations are like a drop in a bucket. We Americans, we think we're a pretty powerful, great nation. God says, America is a drop in the bucket. Put a drop in a bucket, and what's left? I don't know, a few water molecules just... all the worldly powers are like a breath. China, Russia, whatever. Before him, all the nations, including Assyria and Babylon and Persia and Greece and yes, even Rome, are nothing. They're regarded as worthless. All right, so how worthful is a single person when there's 347 million of them in that country? All right, outside of God, but with God, oh, it's a very, very different thing. He says, look at the idols. This person making the idol is so poor, he couldn't even buy the idol that he's making. So what's the idol worth then? So what's Hollywood worth? Nothing. In fact, what did he say? Less than nothing. And I know Travis Kelce and what's her name? I don't know. Oh yeah, yeah, Taylor Swift. I know they're getting engaged. Oh, that's really cool. But you know what? Huh? It was in the news. Don't you guys pay attention to the news? All right. You know, God says, whatever. You know, whatever to that. All right. The 49ers. Yeah, so what? You know, they won the Super Bowl. Oh, whoop-de-doo compared to God creating the universe. You know what I'm saying? Our idols, and yes, all of us have idols to one extent or another. Compared to God? Like, it's a joke. All right, that leads us to our next section. Oh, I thought it was on the... All right, great. Verse 22 is supposed to be on the next slide. All right, so there you go. So, what's our first memory verse?
The grass withers and the flowers fall.
But the word of the Lord stands forever. Good. And here's our second memory verse. And by the way, we're not going to quiz you on this one, you know, next Wednesday. But, you know, you might want to work on this one. And, of course, we haven't even gotten to Jan's favorite memory verse in Isaiah 40. We haven't even gotten there yet. But this is my favorite memory verse in Isaiah 40, which is verse 21. Verse 22. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. All its people are like grasshoppers. Josh, grasshopper. Katie, grasshopper. I don't know the sound. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. He spreads them out like a tent. He brings princes to naught. He reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and a whirlwind sweeps them away like a cliff. Do not be impressed by the awesome, amazing academic programs they have here, which are fairly awesome and amazing, but don't be impressed by them compared to God. Are you kidding? All right? All right, let me see. I think I'm in verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes, look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Even young men stumble and fall. This is Jan's memory verse. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will finish their chemistry course and not even sweat it. All right? They will walk and not be faint. All right, so how about this? This is the main verse. He sits a throne above the circle of the earth. All its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. That's the God. He says, comfort, comfort my people. Why? Because, at least in the context of Isaiah, they're about to go into captivity. And all of us, Jesus said in John 8, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have at one time or another been a slave to sin? But tonight, the message is, God is great and awesome, and we are grass and grasshoppers. I don't know which is worse, to be grass or grasshopper. But comfort, comfort my people. And then verse 27, oh, complaining Christian, right? Why do you complain, O Jacob? Why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord? Have you ever felt like your way was hidden from the Lord and he wasn't taking care of you? Yes, everyone here has felt that. But God says, no, 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 no. Tonight God says, comfort, comfort my people. Because we can be assured that those who wait on the Lord, they will have their strength renewed. They will run and not grow weary. Right? Even young men stumble and fall. Even youths grow tired and weary. But we're going to open the Lord. Amen? Then Isaiah 41. I'm almost done here. Isaiah 41. All right. A little look forward here. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and has subdued kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. I'm going to get a little bit obscure on you right now. This is a prophecy about a guy, and his name is Cyrus. In the year 538, 537 BC, Cyrus came from the east, and he came and he destroyed Babylon, and he set God's people free. So this is kind of a cool prophecy. By the way, we're skipping Isaiah 41. They're going to Isaiah 42. I'm just going to read like five verses and then end, because we have to end. Sorry, we ran out of time. But Isaiah 41, verse 8, he says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend." And who's he talking to? Who are the true children of Abraham? Galatians chapter 2. All right, Romans chapter 8. Christians are. So I'm going to just introduce Isaiah 42. I wanted to go over it, but I can't. I ran out of time. But Isaiah 42, 1 through 9, is the first of four what are called servant songs. So there's these servant songs. And the cool thing about these servant songs is sometimes it's talking about Israel as his servant. Sometimes it's talking about the church as his servant. And sometimes he's talking about Jesus, the suffering Messiah. All right, let's see which of those he's talking about here in Isaiah 42, starting in verse 1. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." That could be any of those three so far. "I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." All right, now we know who he's talking about. "He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope." Who is this a prophecy about? Jesus. All right? So, one of my two discussion questions had to do with this, but I guess we'll just have to have one of the two discussion questions. So maybe we'll have slightly shortened discussion sessions. I don't know. Okay, because what we're going to do is we're going to read, next time we're going to read about Isaiah 42, and we're going to think about Jesus as both a lion and a lamb. Which is he in this passage, a lion or a lamb? He's a lamb. All right, so we're going to think about that. So our discussion groups are only going to be the first question, I guess. All right, got it? So let's end with a prayer. All right, let's see. Zane, could you lead a quick prayer for us so we break up into our groups?
I would love to. Please join me as I pray. Lord God, thank you for this time to pray, to be here at Club Meeting Alpha Omega, to look at the scriptures, Father, to be comforted by the words spoken by Isaiah that you gave him, Lord, to know that you are eternal, that you are mighty, and compared to you, even the nations are like nothing, Father. Help us to take that to heart, to be bold, to be courageous, especially when we are under duress, when we're trying to share our faith, we just face trials, Lord, to remember how mighty you are, how great you are. You are eternal. In your Son's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, for those who came in a bit late before we break into our groups, Glow in the Dark Ultimate Frisbee will be tomorrow night at 8. Picnic and volleyball, 6 o'clock at Lake Yosemite Park on Friday. And then Saturday morning, pancake breakfast. Worship on campus, SSB 160, Sunday at 11 o'clock. Yosemite hike. Oh, not 5:30, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, not 5:30. Okay, got it? So let's break into our groups. 3 or 4 and discuss our questions. There you go.